Good evening, Radio City legends, 6:30 on Monday, April the 15th, and of course, an extremely poignant day in our city. We've got John Aldridge and Graham Sharp in the studio, and of course, respects paid across Merseyside and the football world and beyond. 30 years it's marked today, John.
Yeah, it seems like yesterday. You know, obviously, it was horrible. But, you know, myself and Sharpie were obviously involved in the final, you know, that year. So, you know, the City, the Liverpool and the Everton fans were exemplary. You know, they just... And you know, Tranmere, you know, across Merseyside, and great fans alike, you know, the time did what they can, did what they had to. And, you know, it's pity it's still not quite put to bed, isn't it, with what happened a week or two ago.
But today the city was impeccable.
Was magnificent, yeah. Magnificent, mate, yeah.
Always
it's
in your
sad,
thoughts, Sharpie.
No, it's sad. Nobody will ever get away from the fact and it'll never, ever be forgotten.
Yeah.
You know, what happened that day was horrific. And they've had their own personal battles, obviously, to try and get justice. And you think they're moving on and you think the recent court case, and you think, yeah, this is going to be, you know, this is going to be closure on it altogether. And it's not. And it's still open, you know, and... Listen, nobody will ever get over it. Families and everything else, and parents, true, whatever it might be. I think when it happens, the city always comes out and supports it. Yeah,
you know, it scarred everyone. You know, it scarred us all. You know, all alike. You know, that day. You know, and quite rightly, it will never be forgotten. You know, quite rightly. So, you know, from yesterday's point of view, it was it's quite apt that you know we beat Chelsea. It was apt, you know, to lose, you know, round about this day. And for Tommy Smith as well.
Yeah.
You know, Tommy, what he was for Liverpool Football Club. It was a big win, you know, for us to perhaps lose or draw and lose the league, you know, round about this date. And with Tommy dying, you know, on Friday, it would have been a proper downer, you know. So we've kept it going and with them in mind, it was a really good performance and a really good result.
Yeah, tributes to the Anfield Iron before the game. Well, what are your memories of Tommy? I know involved in 65, wasn't he, in that span right the way through to 77. And
I watched him right throughout his career.
Golden
Liverpool,
European
yeah.
Cup final.
Yeah, you know, I started
tough.
I started watching Liverpool when he was playing in the mid 60s. You know, so seeing most of his games. Tough's not the word, by the way. Wow, some of the tattles he
transcends
in.
That, does it?
Oh. Well, anyone, like, you know, in them days, you could get away with a lot of things that you can't this day and age, you know. There's cameras every angle they've got you. You know, there was only one camera and then the referee linesman couldn't see things and they let you get away with a lot of things. But anyone like Cali, the pick on Cali or Peter Thompson or the wingers and, you know, any one of them, you know, got a kicking off someone, Tommy Smith would go out of his way somewhere for him and he put them in the stands.
He was the big brother.
That's what he was. Yeah, he was, you know. And in them days, there was a lot of players at that ilk, wasn't he? But Tommy was Liverpool's, like, the godfather type of thing on the pitch. Great footballer, you know, that aside, hard, tough man. Great footballer. Watched him play right back. He was brilliant. Watched him play centre back with Yates, Ron Yatesy. Centre mid. He scored some really good goals from centre mid. You know, and the big goal that stands out in mind was obviously the one in the European Cup final in 77.
Yeah.
And then I always remember on the Friday when they come back, he had this testimony at Anfield. Went there on the Friday night and a good, real good turnout for him then. He was like a Mr. Liverpool, wasn't he? You know, he was, you know, and then he went on to America and obviously down to Swansea with Tosh. But his time at Liverpool, he was right up there with the very best.
And what was the Shankly quote? He wasn't born, he was quarried.
That's fantastic, isn't it?
He sat in the press box for years, didn't he?
Well, we used to see him, we used to see them, you know, before every game. You know, he worked for the Liverpool Echo doing his column. Right. So I spent many a time, you know, because I didn't want to get involved with all the writers from down south. And they always come, you know, looking for Liverpool to get beat most of the time. And me and Tommy sit down slagging them off and looking at them and, you know, eyeing them up and all that. Tommy saying, yeah, you know what, you're here, but we're not going to get beat. You can get Scarpa back to London there, you know, not a story here for you, he'd say.
It's a shame, isn't it, Sharpie? Obviously, when we lose greats like that, but he leaves a great legacy.
Unfortunately, it happens, but as John said, he watches them all the time, so John knows more about them, obviously, the reputation came before him. I remember the goal he scored, the header in the European Cup final. yeah, but unfortunately, in later life, he was suffering a wee bit.
Yeah.
You know, but everybody's got fond memories. Sure, Liverpool fans have got fond memories of him. They can talk about him all day long. I knew him just to say hello to.
Yeah.
As I said, didn't really see him playing in the flesh.
He scared me whenever you talked to him. He had one of those.
No, ones. But what he did, you, what you see is what
Philip
you got
Coutinho
with Tommy.
Coutinho scares you.
Oh, I'll yes. go away with you.
No, but what you see is what you got.
Yeah.
He was straight as an arrow. Mm. And he'd say, I was, take it or leave it. That's the way he was, you know. Mm.
I'll just read his honours list before we move on. So he won 4 First Division titles, 2 FA Cups, European Cup, 2 UEFA Cups and a Super Cup as well. So we did all right, did Tommy.
Super player.
Right, some news that's just emerged. Let's talk about Everton's Andre Gomez, who's been charged with violent conduct for a tackle on Alexander Mitrovic on Saturday. Appeared to stamp on Mitrovic in stoppage time in Everton's 2-0 defeat at Craven Cottage. Incident missed by the referee Lee Probert, but he's been charged by the FA and he's got until 6 on Tuesday to respond. But the video cameras do tend to tell a story, Sharpie.
I'll say 2 things about this. Yeah, definitely I saw it at the time and I thought, yeah, he's lucky to get away with that kind of thing. And immediately we thought, they'll look at that and do him for that because it was a naughty challenge. Not only he knows whether it was intent or not, but what I'm saying is the rules of football. Surely the rules of football should be the same for every game of football. And I'm only saying this, not saying, but Salah's tackle the other night in the European game.
Should that have been reviewed?
Well, what I'm saying is, why is it different in UEFA than it is in the Premier League? You know, why can they review it? And then, so I thought football was, the rules were supposed to be the rules and everybody abided by the rules. And listen, immaterial, that's the one thing I've got against it. Why, you know, not just Mo Salah, but in Champions League or whatever, why don't they review that as well? But I think the one on Saturday, yeah, he deserved that. Only he'll know whether he meant to do it kind of thing, but he was late. And I think, personally, he'll get done for it.
What's your possible punishment for that? Is that a couple of games banned?
Red card, 3 games.
So 3 game ban.
Yeah, it'd be 3 games. Mm. You know, that would leave him, obviously, to Tottenham. Tottenham Hotspur would be his last game.
Which would be a huge miss, in all honesty.
Yeah,
it was,
but he was poor on Saturday. Like, they all were. Mm.
Did anyone come out of it with any credit?
I was just saying to John before we came in, the 2 centre-backs, Zouma and Jagielka. Jagielka, I'll go on to this again. Who gives the marks, especially in the echo? Jagielka and Kurt Zouma had a handful on Mitrovic. Had a handful. He was a bully from the first minute, bullying people and that. They stood up to him.
As much as he possibly could.
But apart from that, I thought the boy Dania struggled at left back. There was nobody. I thought they were misplacing passes all over the place. Dominic Calvert-Lewin, to be fair, had 2 great chances where he should have done better. One, he hit the post. One, he missed a header that fizzed across the 6-yard box. So there was an odd half chance, but overall, as soon as it was kicked off, I was saying after about 10 minutes, they look as if they played 3 games in a week. Couldn't get anywhere near it, and Fulham had a game plan, just got behind the ball and frustrated and knocked it long to Mitrovic, got hold of it and then go and play off him. So Everton were really poor, probably the poorest I've seen them this season.
Come
really
on,
poor.
Everyone. Give Sharpie a shout. Hold his hand for the next 40 minutes.
4720967. I don't need to hold my hand.
Referee. I've no gripes. I've said it for a long time. You know, the one we had yesterday, Michael Oliver. He's the best one out there.
Right.
I thought he was really good. He tried to let the game flow as best he could yesterday. I thought he's probably the best performance referee in wise of the season. I thought he was brilliant.
Probert was our referee. He did okay. Yeah.
Have we seen one of the goal of the season contenders from Mo Salah? Would you put it up there in the top 3 for the season?
That's the best goal I've seen this season. It was just Liverpool.
Right.
But as soon as it's one of those where you see it, and we've seen Steve Gerrard do the same thing for Liverpool many times. As soon as he hit it, you went goal.
Yeah. Mm.
You knew it was in. As soon as he hit it, it was like a thunderbolt one. It was just, what a strike.
It was like a Robbie Fowler goal. That's how you'd compare it,
isn't
it?
Yeah.
Quick shift.
And then not much backlifting. He's just like a die, you know. The Middlesbrough, Steve Gerrard one. Remember right behind that one. I remember that one. It wasn't too dissimilar to that one. Steve was perhaps a little bit further out. great goal, and it, I made up for him after, obviously, you know, last week with the Chelsea fans and one thing and another. He's you know, he answered them in the right way with a fantastic spectacular goal.
Did you enjoy that goal? I mean, just from a goal scorer's perspective, Sharpie.
It was a great strike. You know, as soon as you hit it, you know it's going in. You know,
can you think of other goals this season that have superseded it?
Sigurdsson scored one at Leicester.
Right.
Which was
equally
different type of goal, kind of thing, top corner. Mm. Oh, there's this and there'll be loads kind of thing.
Hazard against West Ham was brilliant, wasn't it?
Townsend against Man City. He scored a whopper, didn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a few kind of bit. I just thought the game, Liverpool's game, I thought he'd be out after that game, the manager. I just see the team he picked and not playing a centre forward and playing Hazard up there, and I'm thinking
absolutely. And you don't blame him up there. As soon as you swapped him back, Sharpie, all of a sudden for five, seven minutes we lost our way, and they should have scored a couple of goals. They were unlucky. That's the only time they came into the game when he started going on left hand wing, getting on the ball, running out of his half. He was unmarkable. He was just going past people, including Van Dijk, a couple of like they weren't there.
I couldn't understand, and then you know they've got Higuain, who's had a torrid time, and Giroud on the bench. I'm thinking maybe change it a little bit. Then the boy Callum Hudson-Odoi, who hasn't had a look in all season, then he plays him in a game like that. You know, an 18-year-old kid in a game like that.
Yeah, he went missing.
Yeah, and you're thinking, wow, what, I don't know what he's looking at there. And I honestly thought he'd have got the bullet after that. I thought he'd have gone after that.
You can't. Someone saw him to me before the game, and you know, he talked to one, a big Chelsea fan. He said every time Hazard plays up front, he said he can't play there. Mm. You know, and when I seen him up the front there, I thought, well, absolutely. Because when we've seen him play past years, when he gets the ball deep and he runs it, the alarm bells go.
Yeah.
Because, you know, his balance and the way the trickery, he's an absolute nightmare. Yeah. And for them 5-10 minutes, that was the only time he was in the game, he was a nightmare. Nightmare to play against, and I'll be made up when he goes through.
I thought Kante played well for them.
He's a good player. You have to say they're the best two players. But
is he a better player playing in the position he's playing now? Because he's playing them further forward, isn't he?
Kante.
Yeah, that's what the Chelsea fans were complaining about. He's asked somebody to play a different game. What was Kante? Kante was a destroyer, wasn't he?
Jorginho sitting.
So they said, right, okay, you play further forward, and you look at him and think, was Kante ever that kind of player? He was a great player doing the holding job and doing that kind of thing. So he's changed his position this year. But if you've done well, brilliant.
Let's get a few thoughts on Liverpool. Go to the phone lines. Radio City Legends with John Aldridge and Graham Sharp. And we'll start with the Liverpool side of things. Let's kick it off with Richie, who's on the line. Evening, Richie.
Evening, Steve.
You all right, mate? Through to Aldo. What's your thoughts on Liverpool's performance?
Hello, boys. How are you?
Hi, Richie. All right.
Doing okay.
Yeah, not too bad. I thought it was a decent performance, to be honest, boys. The first half was it was quite tight, to be honest. You know, we sort of controlled possession and things like that. Salah had that opportunity in the first few minutes.
Should have done better there, yeah.
Should have done better there, John, to be honest.
Yeah.
But and then obviously Mane's effort went wide.
They were the only two real chances we had first half. When it was pretty drab, they were just sitting back and, you know, just trying to defend. But you're right, we carved them out, them two occasions. I think Manny should have hit the target there. It would have been a goal. It was close, you know. And then obviously, you know, Salah hit it into the ground, which took the pace away, didn't it?
Yeah, definitely, John. I mean, you know, some would say it was on target, but it was sort of straight at him off the ground, like you said. It was either side, you know, probably would have went in. But moving on to the second half, it was, I don't know what got said in the dressing room, but we come out and it was a brilliant, brilliant display.
Yeah.
I thought Henderson was brilliant once again in that advanced role.
He was. No, you took the words out of my mouth there. You know, he was the instigator for the first goal with the lovely passing movement getting in it, and then the pass was absolutely sublime. You know, the far post. He knew where. That's what you do when you get to them areas. Don't have to drill it sometimes. You just take everyone's drawn to the near post. Just get someone round the back. You miss them all. I mean, Sharpie's done it loads of. Just get yourself the back post. You know, a little dink, little like a pitching wedge. Over it goes to the back post and it's bingo. And he's brilliant playing. I thought he was our best player yesterday, Jordan Henderson.
Yeah,
he's got like a new lease of life since the Southampton game.
Yeah, I did myself, to be honest, John. I think also I'll mention on Fabinho as well. He's just immense, John, to be honest. He's starting to show his class and Kieta as well, to be honest. Because he's been getting a lot of stick lately, you know what I mean? And I just think the more times that he plays, the better we're going to see of him, you know?
Well, I hope so. I've been saying that all season. But Christian next to me, he's been saying, no, there's nothing there.
He's not having him, is he?
All of a sudden, he's saying he's not that bad, you know. But, but he has to say there's more to come from him. But he has to realise sometimes he just dwells on the ball sometimes. And what other teams do, they get two or three people around him quickly just trying to nip it off him. So he's just got to realise you can't do that in the Premiership. But Fabinho, he's just got better, you know, game by game this season. You know, he's going to be very influential in years to come for us, I think.
John, did you see that bit where he shouldered off the ball just before Salah's goal? It's a proper show-off.
Yeah. We chest it like it's like a Brazilian thing. The ball coming and he passed it with his shoulder. Oh, it's brilliant.
But he did it as if it was just like he was strolling along. It was the best thing you've ever seen. Oh, it was superb, wasn't it? Richie, what about the next four games for Liverpool?
I think they're all winnable, to be honest, Steve. I think it's, you know, obviously it's out of our hands, but, you know, City have got, you know, a couple of tough games starting. I think they've got Spurs. Is that the early game on Saturday, is it?
Yeah. They got them on Wednesday. Then they've got them Saturday. Then they've got United away.
Yeah,
then
it's the early game
away.
Saturday. Yeah.
So, yeah, you're looking, hopefully, you know, to just, you know, not win one of those games. And then it's up to us. You know, we don't take it, then it's our own fault. But whatever happens now, you know, Rich, the manager has made Liverpool proud. He's made us proud because any other given year, we'd have won the league by now. You know, it's just that Man City are what they are. You know, they've been plasticised, you know, they've monopolised the game in many ways. But what we've done and what he's done with the team and the squad's been outrageously good.
You can't take nothing away from City. You know what I mean?
They're a fantastic team, fantastic squad, absolutely.
Yeah, but I just think with Jürgen and that, I think he's building something. You know, we're sort of building our own little bit of a legacy here, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, if it weren't for us, I think the league would have been well over by now, John, to be honest.
Well, it would, wouldn't it? Absolutely. And for City, you know, ourselves in City, the rest the way off the pace, aren't they? Which we didn't think it was going to be. Go on.
Oh, sorry. I was looking at Klopp's record. I think it's like 38 games unbeaten at Anfield. Is that correct?
Yeah, it is now. You know, he's got the fortress back. But, you know, as you say, you just look at Tottenham, they're basically like, they're 18 points behind us now. You know, Liverpool. Yeah, I mean, so that's where the league's at.
Yeah, I wouldn't have thought that at the start of the season. I thought it'd be a lot closer, you know, with the likes of, obviously, you know, Spurs and possibly, you know, United and Arsenal pushing. But, you know, we've pushed them all away. And I think our next four games, you know, they are winnable.
Very much so.
What we can do, you know what I mean? And obviously the football that we're playing at the moment, in my opinion, John, I think we'll win them four games.
Well, we're not over, you know, overly optimistic. But you're looking at the two home games. I can't, you know, Huddersfield, with all due respect to them, you know, and Wolves, again, last game season, I think we'll win them games. We've got to stake. I think we will win them games. Cardiff, the next game, that's the only one you look after Wednesday, obviously. You know, you'd like to think we go to Cardiff, you know. They made it difficult for Chelsea last game. They were very, very lucky. They were nearly cheated out the game, as we know, by the officials. But you'd like to think we can go there and get a couple of three goals, which will win us the game. You know, and then, you know, you're looking at the Newcastle game then. But it's really interesting. But at the same time, I'm looking at City, and people say Man United. I've watched Man United. The crap. They are not a Man United side that I think can beat Manchester City. I've been watching them and I can't believe, you know, is only been Paris over now, all are gonna, you know, all the Solskjaer. And I'm just looking and watching them and I'm thinking, no. They've been lucky to win the last games, you know.
City John on Sunday, played their best team. And that will be the team that plays not against Tottenham in the Champions League on Wednesday. That would be the team he played against Tottenham.
Yeah,
so he had the back four of Walker, Kompany, Laporte and Mendy, Gundogan, David Silva, De Bruyne, and then there's Sterling, Aguero. I think that's his strongest team at the moment. That's
it is.
And even that Bernardo Silva isn't playing at the moment. But I think that he will make changes from the team that played on Sunday for the Champions League game.
I think so. They want the Champions League more than league. I think the owners, you'll play, you know, you keep it strong now. And he'll have to take a gamble on the players playing all these games. And, you know, if they get past Tottenham and then they've got to play Juventus, then it could compile a little bit more pressure on
them
as well.
You think he'll take company out and he'll put Stones in?
Richie, we've got to leave it there. Brilliant call to start us off. Thank you very much indeed. Let's take more of your calls. 01514720967. We'll do it on the Radio City Legends next. All right, it's 527. More of your calls coming. 4720967. John Aldridge and Graham Sharp in tonight. Lads, did you see the yellow card that Mike Dean handed out at the weekend in the Burnley Cardiff game?
No.
So Ashley Barnes
kissed
Joe Bennett on the nose.
And he sent him off.
Give him a yellow card for kissing him on
yellow
the nose.
Yellow card. Yeah.
Is that too much? Is that worse than, say, rubbing your forehead against the opposition player's forehead?
I think, listen,
you've had a little kiss, a little peck on the cheek?
Yeah, listen, I don't think it would have happened in our day kind of thing, but no. I think he's trying to defuse the situation there, isn't he, rather than anything else.
Who would you have kissed in the Liverpool side?
This.
You're a bad man. What are you saying, John?
No, you don't. What?
What?
Don't kiss him.
Don't
kiss anyone, do you? They went.
They went head to head, and I think it could have went that way.
Right,
I think he's trying to defuse the situation and just take the mickey a little bit, but certainly I don't think it would have happened in our day.
No, kissing doesn't work, does it? We're having a little bit of a debate off air about who is the player of the season, because I think possibly Raheem Sterling has maybe collated an awful lot of votes in the past month.
I think you get the writers one because of you know how he's dealt with the racism thing as well. He's been very good on the pitch, don't get me wrong. But
do you think it's closer than it was though between him and Virgil van Dijk?
It's close. I think van Dijk will get the players' player because they vote for that a lot earlier, don't they?
Do they? Is that close?
Yeah, it's a silly time.
January time or Feb time. But the way I'm looking at it, I'm not looking in a biased way. I'd say Van Dijk because he's made such a difference to the Liverpool side and the reason why we are where we are, close to Manchester City, whereas Sterling's just done slightly better than what he's done the last few years. So I think Van Dijk, what he's done for Liverpool, is ridiculously good. You know, he's given us like an extra 25 points, maybe 30 points, whereas Sterling... Hey, by the way, you can't knock him, you know, as much as I'd like to. He's had a good season.
He's been brilliant. He's been brilliant for England as well, so that might sway in his favour as well.
Yeah, that's true, yeah.
Who would you vote for, Sharpie, if it was you voting now?
For what?
For between those two, player of the season.
For the PFA one.
Just who would you vote for as player of the year?
But what is it now? There's a PFA player of the year, isn't there?
I'm just saying, what is it?
And then there's football writers.
Yeah. Then there's a Premier League player of the year.
There's a player's player of the year, isn't there? Which is the...
That's the PFA.
Yeah, it's the PFA one.
And the football writers.
I think the PFA is the one you want to win.
Should they be different?
Rather than football writers, because some of them haven't got a clue.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, the footballers actually got a clue and they play against you. No, that's the truth. You know, you're Sharpie and me. You know, if you ever wanted to win that one of those on the PFA by a mile. Football writers.
Yeah. Right, so I'm going for an objective opinion off Sharpie here. Go on, weigh the two up.
Both very influential in where the teams are. As John said, other issues as well. Kind of thing. Sterling's handles himself unbelievably. For me, I think you always maybe tend to go towards a goal scorer. And I think Sterling's goals might shade. I think Van Dijk's been unbelievable for Liverpool. Fantastic. He's been the major difference. Showed up the defence. Look a lot more. So it's going to be really, really close. But I think in times you used to always say, oh, they'd favour the forward because he scored more goals. But listen, it might have changed.
17 goals, 9 assists for Raheem Sterling. By the way, we haven't mentioned Sadio Mane's on 18 goals. He's just a goal behind Mo Salah. Yeah.
They're on the same number. Is it Aguero?
He's top of the pile with Mo.
Yeah, and then Mane's just one below, isn't it? So, from a Liverpool point of view, that's healthy competition, you know, for Mo and... You know, and obviously Mane to go head-to-head. I'd love one of them to get it. It's prestigious. Obviously, you want to get the league and obviously the Champions League first and foremost. But as a forwards go, it's great that, your forwards are right up there for the Golden Boot, like Mo got it last year. To get it back-to-back would be a great achievement.
Who's next in Liverpool? Is it Firmino?
Firmino.
He's,
so then again, you're looking at your front three. And
12 goals.
But I think you look at your front three again and you say, well... we can't complain because the goals are, they're still scoring goals. Yeah. Of course, you see that, that Mane or Salah said, suppose, I mean, oh, he's having a bad season and all that kind of thing. But then you look at the three of them and you think, yeah, that's where the goals are. Now, as people have come on the phone in and said, it's time for other people to weigh in now. Yeah. You know, midfield players, whether that comes next year, I'm not too sure. No, if you've got three guys that are scoring goals the way they're scoring goals there,
you're going to be at the top, aren't you?
You've got to keep your fits. You've got to keep your fits on the pitch, haven't you? You
know, two for Everton, close. Gylfi Sigurdsson, 12, and Richarlison, 12 as well. Same as Roberto Firmino and Son from Spurs. Let's take another call and go to the blue side of the city and talk Everton. Let's pick it up with Matt. Evening, Matt.
Hi, Steve.
Hello, pal. What's it? What do you want to talk with Sharpie on?
Say that again, sorry.
What do you want to talk with Sharpie on tonight?
I was there on Saturday, and I don't know, I just thought the whole day felt a bit flat, really. I think everyone, you know, myself included, expected Everton just to turn up there and wipe the floor with them, but it doesn't work like that, does it? I mean, if you drop your levels at all in the Premier League, you get punished. And I actually think had Fulham not been relegated the week before, I would think I'd have been more confident we'd have won, because I think they improved a bit because the pressure was off, and I think we maybe felt a bit more relaxed about it because they had nothing to play for. I'm still confident we'll get a result on Sunday against United because I think that's the sort of team we are. But I don't know, it's no good really beating teams like Chelsea and Arsenal if you can't then go and back
Matt,
me up. And
Matt,
beat.
you looked at it and I was at the game myself at the weekend and it was just so flat, and it just, you're looking at it and you're thinking, come on, listen, you've still got seventh place to play for, European football. And I just looked at them on Saturday and I thought, the sun was shining and I thought, this is like a last game of the season, the way they just went about it kind of thing. And you're thinking, you've still got seventh place. The results went for us, you know, the last couple of weeks as well. And I'm thinking, let's go and commit there and get the good run going and keep it going. But I just thought we were awful from the first whistle. I thought we were miles away.
Yeah, I mean, I said to my mate that I went with, I said I was still confident at half time we'd win that, just because I thought our, you know, quality would tell against them. But you know, we didn't work hard enough. I agree with what I think Steve says to you before. Did anyone come out of it with any credit? I don't think anyone did, really. I can't think of one player who played well. And I think we've seen this too many times, really, this season, haven't we? I mean, think of, like, the Millwall game.
Well, is it? Matt,
lose to Brighton.
I was down with my mate and I was talking to people as well. You know, you look at it and the motivation. Yeah, you look at the managers and everything else, but the motivation's got to come in from within the team. You know, the team, the members of the team have got to be that way, that they're motivated to, come on, we're not losing this, or come on, roll our sleeves up. You know, you look at the teams at the top of the table, that's what they've got. You know, they're difficult to beat, they dig in, they get results. But I just looked at us and I thought, that just about sums us up. You know, we've done ever so well, as you quite rightly said, in the three games, Chelsea, Arsenal, and then you're going to Fulham, and then it's just like this blasé attitude, we just have to turn up. And listen, they were playing for the manager, they were playing to get Scott Parker the job. We knew that, we knew Mitrovic would be a handful. But I just thought our reaction, we were sloppy from the first whistle when Jordan kicked it against Jags and lucky to get away with it. That just summed us up, really. And I think that just set the stall that we were really, really poor. And it was disappointing. I looked at the crowd again, the guys that came down and supporters, an incredible turnout again. And I just thought the performance was really, really poor.
Yeah, I don't think you can place much of the blame on Silva for Saturday.
No.
Apart from maybe, I think he allowed his heart to rule his head a bit over Jagielka. I would have brought Keane back in personally. If he's fit enough to be on the bench, he's fit enough to play.
Yeah.
But I think, if you think the three games we won, I think Arsenal were pretty poor against us. I know we played really well, but I think Chelsea, West Ham, Arsenal were pretty poor against us. In the same way that I think we were very poor on Saturday and got punished by the better team. But
do you think you have to question the mentality of the players?
Yeah,
that's what I'm saying.
Yeah. Because it's not right, is it?
Your mentality as a footballer, and listen, you have days like that, but your mentality as a footballer, look at Liverpool's mentality going into the game. Their mentality would be, we're not losing this game, we've got to do this right, we've got to be on top of our game, we've got to do this, we've got to start well, make sure if it's a forward you get a hold of the ball, your first touch is good, or if it's a defender you win your first hit, whatever, set your standards. We started sloppily and it just went downhill. We never got it back. Dominic Calvert-Lewin did a couple of chances. But the mentality is to roll your sleeves up, dig in here, We've got to dig in. We've got to get something. But even a draw, get something from the game. I just thought we rolled over.
Matty, we've got to leave you there, but thank you very much indeed.
Thank you.
Top Cheers. Man. Just before we get to Teddy, were you working? Were you on the press side, I think? Mm. That press room, is it still
changed.
The smallest room in the world?
It's changed.
At Fulham, yeah, has it?
Yeah, it's an even smaller one.
Oh,
it
no.
Has. Yeah, it's changed. It's where it used to be. They've moved up very near next to the dressing rooms.
Right, people won't know what we're talking about, but essentially they used to squash as many people as possible into the smallest room ever.
Yeah, it's where
they used to do the post-match stuff, now the press
in
room.
In the corner. Mm. And you had to fight for your sandwiches, and John would always
leave
his rag about
it's a great ground. It's a fabulous...
Oh, it looks great, doesn't it?
I love going there on the Thames. It's fabulous. And
little cricket pavilion.
Yeah, people are decent. You know, good. Yeah.
Statue of Michael Jackson still there?
Oh, it's gone.
Right, let's have a chat with Teddy about Liverpool. Evening, Teddy. Oh, he's gone. He was there, and then he's vanished. We'll get him back in a moment or two. Don't worry, we'll talk with Teddy in a sec. Should we take a break? We'll just see if we can get him back. Let's see if our... our production team can whip him back into action.
Don't hold your breath.
Don't worry, it's not Christian. Yeah. Christian's hiding in the corner. Is he worried about the quiz tonight?
No.
Right, we've got Teddy now. Evening, Teddy.
Evening, chaps. You OK? Right.
Hello, Ted. Right.
Just before I mention Fabinho, just a quick one for Sharpie. You know when you were saying before about... You know, the inconsistencies with the referees. Pogba got away with another one the weekend, didn't he?
Yeah. Exactly, and I just don't know what the rule is, and I just think that.
What did he do? They missed that one.
Well, Pogba's again, but Pogba's done a few of these, and I just think that do they go through every single game again and go right bang? We're having this one, we're having that one, or whatever. I don't know. I just think it's up in the air again with it, VAR and everything else. VAR not being in every round of the FA Cup, crazy, absolutely crazy.
It was a bit of a kung fu kick, wasn't it? That he carried out on Snodgrass.
Yeah.
It was similar to Mane.
Mm.
Yeah.
Very similar to Mane. Same position.
See, exactly, Teddy, but very quickly, Ted. So the boy Gomez is getting done, and quite rightly so. It was a bad tackle. So why isn't Pogba getting... Why is that not getting... thing? It's crazy.
Craziness.
Yeah.
Anyway, what about Fabinho at the moment, Teddy?
Oh, no, man, he's just our silent weapon at the minute, isn't he? Everyone's raving about Jordan Henderson, but Jordan Henderson wouldn't be able to play in the position he's playing without him being able to control the back of the park.
Mm-hmm.
Henderson's just doing the same role as what he was doing 3 years ago. But, you know, we kind of lost a void there in like the central defensive mode. But Fabinho's like gained the trust now, hasn't he? And we can trust him now to just hold that. All that part of the field and let the two sentiments go forward.
Yeah.
I'd say it's just Henderson being Henderson. I reckon if we wouldn't have got that C-match ban, I reckon we'd have won the league that season, but...
Yeah, that's true, going back to that. Yeah, we missed him then, But yeah, you're right, you know, Fabinho always give Jordan a new lease of life because... When we were talking about last week, in that buffer role, you know, he done what the manager wanted him to do, you know, he held well, he didn't really get forward. You know, an awful lot, but now he's got the license to, you know, get in the box and, you know, and create havoc. You know, his pass last week to Trent against Porto was fantastic, which got us the all important second goal. Again, you know, the influential in the first goal. I thought he was excellent. Again, that obviously the manager knows now that Jordan can play in that old role, obviously, but the first choice now is going to be Fabinho. You know, because he can defend. He's a real good defender. He got the likes of the long legs where all of a sudden... He done one tackle yesterday. He was brilliant. Absolutely fantastic times. And it has to be timed well from behind. And he come up with a ball. I thought that was brilliant. You know, a top draw. And as I said, you know, just earlier on in the show, he's going to be really pivotal in years to come. But then also, he's given the manager a nice little sidetrack there with Henderson, because he can play in an advanced role as well, where Chamberlain can play as well, and Keita can play, and Shaqiri can play. So I think it just adds more strings to the bow.
Spoil for choice, Sam. And just another one. Do you reckon Salah should have had the penalty?
When yesterday?
Yeah.
I think
he went for him, didn't he?
Luis.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I was too far away. I was in the main stand, but the cop end, and I didn't see the replay of it. It looked clumsy, but I think Mo knew what he was doing.
Would you like to play against him?
Louise all day long.
Oh, my goodness.
And Christian, when Christian came on, I went, oh, happy days.
But Louise, dear me. Wow.
Yeah, no, Louise, he's a midfield player. Oh, no, he's played here all the time. It's good, Ted, yeah.
Teddy, nice one. Thank you very much, pal.
All right, no problem.
Good lad. Right, we've got pens to do next. It's 7:10. It's Radio City and Radio City Talk, and it's the Legends with Aldo and Sharpie. Right, let's have a little crack at pens this evening. And obviously, the scores currently stand. Oh, where's my sheet? Any questions?
Yeah, 22.
You boys robbed it. There we go. Ah, found it. Don't worry. Sharpie 21, Aldo 26. Have we got five shows? We've got five shows left this season, haven't we? Minimum.
Double points in near the end.
You were the one who vetoed the idea of double points, didn't you? Right, OK. Come on, Sharpie, because you were so good in the first half of the season.
OK, I'm confident. I'll go six.
Right.
I'm confident.
Let's get it going. I should say before we start, Mystery Voice is a giveaway. Song is an absolute giveaway. So if you pick either of those, you've got an easy two.
Yeah, but you get the number six. You get the Liverpool question.
Right. No, you are going to start with the mystery voice.
All right. Go on.
Easy peasy pudding and pie. Here we go. Sharpie, who is this?
Yeah, young player.
Did you hear that?
No.
Right, we'll play it again.
Young player.
Did you hear any of that?
Yeah.
Do you want me to play it again?
Yes, please.
Young player.
Benitez.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, dead easy, wasn't it? Right. It
wasn't easy. Did you get that?
Penalty scored.
No. I couldn't get that, actually. It was too quick.
Hey, on the penalty front, we should say you scored a penalty, didn't you, in Dublin at the weekend?
Oh, yeah,
and
yeah,
you did,
yeah,
the,
yeah.
did the stutter.
I did the stutter and nearly fell over, yeah. But it went in.
Yeah. Is it hard, the stutter, these days?
Yeah, you don't get it right. You can make a fool of yourself, but thankfully I kept my concentration.
It's just like, he's like walking out the pub at night. He's still practising it.
Last night after the game, absolutely.
Yeah. Right, John, what are you on?
Number two.
It's an Everton question. Manchester United beat Everton 2-1 earlier in the season. Who scored Manchester United's winner in the game?
Jimmy Greenough.
2-1. I can't remember the game, to be honest.
We did well.
We
played well, I think.
No, it wasn't Lukaku, so I'll have to go Rashford.
Who was it, Sharpie?
Don't know.
It was Anthony Martial.
Oh, no. Right. That, no.
Sharpie? Number three. Thomas Gravesen arrived at Everton in 2000. From which club was he bought?
Oh, come on.
I know it.
Easy peasy questions for you today.
Germany and Hamburg.
Yes! Two penalties.
I'm under pressure now.
He was a player.
I need that music question now, Steve. It's an easy one because I'm under pressure now.
Mind you, you've struggled with these, haven't you? The music questions.
Well, you have.
Even
got
with
it
the
yet.
Easy ones.
I haven't got it yet.
All right.
Number one.
Okay, it's a Liverpool question. Liverpool beat Porto 5-0 away last season.
Oh, you get that.
Who scored the Reds' fifth goal?
We've had that before.
I think it was Manny.
This! Terrific, he's back in the game there.
What number was that, John? One.
That was number
four
one.
Five. Hopefully you won't get the easy
We've
one.
We've had one, two, three, six. So 4-5 left.
Five.
Number five. This is song and artist.
We've all made.
He's got it. He's finally got it.
Wait, hold on a minute. How do you know that?
Well, you'd have to be fairly incompetent not to get this one.
Excuse me, I haven't had the last two.
All right, here you go. Unless Christian's picked out a part of the song that is unrecognisable.
Oh, all day long.
Here we go.
Come tumbling down.
Yes.
Do you want to hear it again?
Come on.
What's it called? Tumbling down? Tears for Fears.
Kiss the clock.
Everybody wants to rule the world.
Not heard this for a while, have you?
No, I haven't. What was the last one I couldn't get? That cuddly toy or something?
Rochford.
That's never been
a song.
It's been a sub, and that wasn't the title. I'm not having that. Do you know that? We had one other week, Roach for Curly Toe.
That was really tough. That was tough. What was number four? Just for the
Number four. At the end of the 2015-2016 season, which player got the Player of the Season award? So just think of the season, 2015-2016.
City won the league, didn't he? Chelsea?
Man United?
No.
Leicester?
Yes! So it had to be.
Oh, it was Vardy, wouldn't it?
Yes, it was Jamie Vardy. Good question, but you'd have got it wrong, wouldn't you?
No, we got that in the end.
All right, OK.
What season was that?
Hey, clean sheep.
15-16.
Three out of three for Sharpie.
There we go. So it's 22 against 26 as we currently stand.
15-16 season.
Yeah.
Ages ago, don't it?
John, is it Champions League football this week? And again, it doesn't feel like it's quite on the radar, does it?
We haven't talked about it. Yes, mad, isn't it? One game away from the semi-finals of the most prestigious competition, in club football. So yeah, I'm going to Porto. I'm looking forward to it. Yeah, I'm going to go over there and enjoy it. Food's great. The wine from the Douro and the Alentejo region is very nice. And hopefully the game will continue to be very good as well.
Well, you have to say that's really relevant to all our listeners, that you're going to eat and drink well, isn't it?
At the end of the day, you've got to be careful. You know, if they get a first goal, they'll feel this game on. But then with the thought of if Liverpool do get an away goal, that should put it beyond them four goals, you know, they'd need. So... without being overly confident, I think, you know, we will do it one way or another. I think we'll go out there and get a draw. We'll get a draw, bring a draw back, and we'll go through, hopefully.
Should be enough. Right, let's get back to the phone lines. Radio City legend, John Aldridge, Graham Sharp. Let's go to Phil, who's an Everton fan, who thinks that game against Fulham was massively winnable. Don't think we disagree. Evening, Phil.
Evening, boys.
There we go. They can hear you now. Go on, Phil.
Evening, lads.
Hi, Phil.
Hi, Phil.
You're right. What do you reckon at the weekend, Sharpie?
Really poor. I was at the game, Phil. I thought it was really poor. I thought we didn't start well. And I think it just carried on from there. I don't think we could string two passes together. We kept giving the ball away. We're guilty of giving the ball away. And saying that, I think we had two good chances that maybe should have done better. Dominic Calvert-Lewin's headed chance in the first half from a great cross. And then the second one, unfortunately, he's hit the post. Take them, it's a different game. But I thought overall, I thought they deserved to win. I thought they were better than us. I thought they were hungrier than us, which is a worry. They had nothing to play for. All they had to play was possibly another contract next season for them and playing for their manager. But I just thought when we were good, we were decent in the last couple of weeks. I just thought we were poor on Saturday. Really, really poor.
I think that's the problem, Sharpie, this year, and it's inconsistency all the time. Mm. We just don't seem to be able to put four or five games together, and that one must have broke everyone's keeping up the weekend, mate.
Yeah, well, we're all going down there, and I see a great following again from Everton fans going down there, and you're thinking, yeah, you're on the crest of a wave with the performances, and you're thinking, yeah, okay, we've turned the corner, we'll finish the season. Now you're going into the next game worried instead of going into the next game in the back of another victory at Fulham, and it's just trying to keep that momentum going. And listen, when you look at the team on Saturday in comparison to the games they had prior to that, chalk and cheese. You know, you're just thinking, so where's the problem? And as I said to the lads before, you have to go down there. Surely going into that game, the confidence would have been up and it would have been in the dressing room, right, come on, we're not losing this. We're expecting a little bit of a backlash from these are going to come after. Make sure we do this properly. But then we lose the goals in the way we lost them as well, and just one just after half-time, and you're thinking... Oh, no, this is an uphill. But I didn't think we'd done enough to win the game. If I'm honest, Phil, no. I didn't think we were good enough to win the game, and that's a sad indictment.
What were your thoughts on Gomez's tackle there? I thought it was a bit naughty.
Yeah, it was naughty. I think you'll get done for it. I think you'll get done three games. And as I said, that's not usually like him, but I think it was a frustrating afternoon for him as well as the rest of the players who wasn't really getting into it. He was getting hard. Harassed every opportunity, and you know it wasn't for him, but you know he's reacted in that way, and I think he'll get punished for it.
Yeah, definitely.
But we've got to up it again, and the good positive thing is that we've got them at home, and you like to think the full house again, the fans will be behind them, and we'll give them a game. You know, we need to be back to being hard to beat again at home and getting the crowd behind us, because that performance the other day was nowhere near good enough to get 3 points, not only against Fulham, but if you turn up like that against Manchester United, it'll be another heavy defeat, I'll tell you that. So they need to be a lot better and hopefully motivated to get the 3 points.
Phil, thank you very much for finishing off the show on the phone lines. Boys, we didn't get your thoughts on the Masters. Is that one of the greatest sporting moments you've ever seen? Where would you class it?
Fabulous.
It's up there. No, Tiger Woods.
Yeah. Golf is, you know, because everyone's put him down. Didn't think he'd do it. I didn't think he'd win another one. But
so in terms of comebacks,
amazing.
It is the absolutely comeback, is it?
Amazing. I thought he'd come back because of the talent he had.
Yeah.
The only doubt I had was the severity of his injury. He's back. Yeah, the way he swings a club that he swung all his career is incredible. You knew he was going to have problems, but to be that severe, you're thinking, I ain't coming back. But to go overcome that...
And all the other stuff.
Yeah, and all the other stuff, against, and come back. I know people... He was getting ridiculous rounds of golf. You know, 13 over par and all that. It's never been Tiger Woods. But slowly but surely, you saw him edging back. Delighted for him. Fabulous.
Oh, so is there a football comeback that you could compare to it? I don't mean like John Aldridge playing at the Aviva Stadium. I just mean something more relevant. Is there a footballer who's done anything
that? I think the Leicester City story winning the Premiership.
As a comeback, as a club, yeah.
And I think you look at players coming back from serious injuries as well. If they come back,
that'll give them a big boost, wouldn't it?
Yeah, coming back from serious injury. So if there's players that have done that, and you look at Oxlade-Chamberlain as a prime example, which is a severe injury. Yeah. You know, and I think he played in under 21s the other day.
Yeah, they won at Leicester 6-0.
You want him to come back and have the same effect as Tiger Woods? I'm sure he will do. You know, so that'd be good as well.
Yeah.
Quick thought before we go on. Tranmere, of course, who won again at the weekend. They'll play Forest Green on Friday. So Friday afternoon football, because it's Good Friday. But they're that far away, aren't they? A smidgen away from automatic
just
now.
They've got to win the remaining games and it might get, you know, automatic promotion.
Wow, what a run.
They've come from nowhere. Mickey's been a fantastic job there. You know, if they get in the playoffs, so be it. And hopefully the run of form will take him into that playing well. But... hey, it's there. It's an opportunity. Hopefully they can grasp it. Somewhere like Liverpool, kind of be a great double.
Mm. Is that away from home?
No, that's at home.
Oh, it's at home.
We've got Forest Green to play at home and Bury in a couple of weeks. And actually, Lowy, the Bury manager, was sat in front of me at the Porto games. We're having a good chat and they've got a few issues at the moment. So, you never know. Tranmere might capitalise on it. Hopefully not at Lowy's expense.
You'd want him to do well, obviously, and Tranmere and hopefully Mansfield come out at the occasion or do one to Milton Keynes, isn't it?
Voice, lovely. Thank you very much. That was the Radio City Legends, and of course it will return on your Thursday night. See you then.